The Sekhman tried to get his gauntleted hands up, but he was too slow. The scarf tightened and began to bite into the tender flesh of his neck. Ryan jerked hard at it, pulling the guard forward, so close he could smell the rank sweat on the Muni's body. The helmet bobbled off, and he looked into the dull eyes of the creature who had butchered Finn.
Die, you fucker!
Ryan kneed the guard in the groin, feeling the satisfying jarring as he caught the Muni's genitals against the bone. As the man slumped, Ryan crossed his wrists, making the silk tighten like fluid steel, immovable, inflexible.
Die!
The Muni's tongue swelled, his hands fell limp, and his eyes burst from bloodied sockets. Ryan unwound his scarf from the guard's neck, prying it from the deep, furrowed folds in the corpse's flesh. He wrapped it back around his own neck, feeling better for the killing, not stopping to mourn Finnegan. There'd be time for that later. A piece of plas the size of a button, a 5-second fuse, and a tiny copper detonator. That was all it took for the six to blast their way inside the Holy of Holies at the Wizard Island Complex for Scientific Advancement. The small explosion shook their ears, and then the outer door swung back. The scientists, finally realizing they were under serious attack from the primitive outsiders, had taken precautions. A handful of Sek guards, blasters ready, were lined up to meet the intruders. There were six of them, but not one managed to fire his laser rifle. Each was gunned down on the spot in a hectic burst of shooting from the corridor. Leaping over jerking corpses, nearly slipping in the spreading pools of turgid blood, Ryan led his friends in.
Fire blast.
He stopped dead inside the doorway, the others nearly knocking him over.
Hold it!
They'd realized the research part of the complex must be enormous, but even in their wildest imaginings, they hadn't figured on anything quite as massive as this. Spidery scaffolding rose 30 stories high, interlocking in a delicate tracery of dulled metal. A viper's nest of colored conduits and pipes wound in and out, so far above them that they seemed like thin wires. Red and green and orange and vivid blue. There were three basic sections within the research area, marked simply land, sea, and air and space. Each one seemed to vanish into the diminishing distance. Each was bigger than 50 aircraft hangars. A long list on the wall showed the innumerable subsections of research, a catalog of inhumanity and megadeth. Chemical, medical, nerve toxins, sight, audio destroyers, neural synapse breakers, RPV.
What's that?
It stands for remotely piloted vehicles. It was big around the end of the 20th century.
Sensors, avoidance, lamps. Tell me, Doc.
Means light airborne multipurpose systems, mainly anti-submarine stuff.
Jesus, look at this stuff. Battle support missiles, air defense missiles, surface-to-air missiles, fixed emplacement, forward area guided projectiles. I think I would have loved all this shit, whatever it is.
The list was seemingly endless, and it was color-coded and had a variety of letters and numerals after each item. By far the largest number of entries was under the subhead anti-personnel weapons.
Don't tell us, Doc. It just means lots of ways of killing ordinary people. By Gaia, but this has to be wiped clean!
But with Finnegan dead, only JB and Ryan had the basic explosives knowledge to start a chain reaction that would destroy the whole complex. Jack was fine on small localized sabotage, but nothing bigger.
Split up. Christy and Jack with me. JB, take Doc and Lori. Check Kronz. I have 11:13 now. Meet back at the bottom of the main elevators in... how long you figure, Doc? JB? How long?
The old man shook his head, as if overwhelmed by the pressure and the killings.
This gilded palace of sin, my old friend, its walls of sardonyx and chrysoprase, its mighty towers of sapphire and chalcedony, inlaid with wondrous lapis lazuli. Is that not the most wonderful name for a gem? Lapis lazuli.
Ryan shook him by the arm.
Don't fuck us up now, Doc. Not fucking now.
Doc's eyes cleared and his jaw set. The old man squared his shoulders and stared Ryan straight in the eye.
My most humble apologies, my dear friend. What can I have been thinking of? You were asking...
How long? How long to try and find the right places to blow this dump out of the world?
Their security is lax and almost useless against fighters with intent. It's odd, is it not? They have been locked in here for 100 years doing nothing but researching ways of killing the planet. Yet in all that time, the poor devils have quite forgotten how to fight.
So it'll be a slide, huh?
I think not. They will eventually gain access to their own defense systems. Dr. Evian spoke of hordes of sick muties locked safely away, waiting only the press of a button to release them all. No, I think we can spare no more than an hour.
Where's best to go?
Missiles, I suppose, would be best. Find some good old-fashioned dynamite or nitro and place it right. Should be enough. An explosion down here has nowhere to go. Could bring the roof in. Then the lake. Blow down and set off the volcano. That would be a wondrous consummation. To be born in fire and to end in fire.
Fine, then. We'll split up like we said. Both groups will head toward the missiles. One left and one right. Kill anything moving. I now have 11:15. Meet back at the base of the elevator at 12:20. First there waits, if they can, until 12:25. Then they go up. Up and run. Head back through the ville for the gateway. Wait there 24 hours. Then...
Dan, goodbye.
Most of the next hour passed like a dream of action and death for Ryan and his two companions. By his calculations, they'd taken out 3 of the 61 scientists and a sizable part of their secmen. Unless some of the hordes of muties sweepers had been released, there couldn't be more than about 70 living humans within the entire Wizard Island complex, a tiny number in that rambling techno-vastness.
Psst, someone!
Jack Lauren ran a little ahead of Ryan and Christy. It was the frail dwarf scientist in a spidery frame of plastic tubing. Its silent motor allowed him to be suspended a few inches above the floor. Seeing them, he stopped his machine.
Take him.
Ryan put the G-12 caseless on single shot and aimed at the center of the scientist's great spongy nodding head between his moonish eyes. Just as he had when they'd last seen him, the scientist managed to control his trembling features long enough to smile at them. A wonderful warm smile that filled Ryan with a wave of almost magical happiness. He smiled back and lowered his gun.
Ryan!
Can't. Not to that.
The wheelchair floated nearer, the tiny, flipper-like left hand working intricate controls. The head nodded, the smile unchanging. Ryan glanced at Jack and saw him grinning helplessly at the scientist. The delicate, harmless little...
What the...
Ryan turned toward his lover. The H&K P7A-13 pistol in Christie's right hand was smoking. A small ruby hole, black-edged, appeared miraculously in the dwarf's massive forehead above his glittering left eye. His chair weaved and stopped, and the scientist slumped dead in it, the smile still stuck in place.
Christy, we could...
Lover, we don't have the time.
She pushed past him, edging Jack out of the way and taking the lead. Word had finally got out among the scientists that death had come stalking them. Ryan and the others saw lab coats of pink, green, and light blue scurrying away from them, upstairs and into rooms that opened off the main part of the complex. Oddly, they saw no more Sekmen.
Here!
Ryan pointed to a section marked with a skull and crossbones and the words over the doorway, All personnel, caution, explosives, Alpha Sec only, others, quadruple negative entry. They entered a laboratory filled with glass vials that bubbled and hissed. There was more scientific equipment in the room than Ryan had seen in his entire life. Strapped into a peculiar upright wheeled chair was the huge giant they'd seen previously, this time without his muty escort. His face, with the distorted, swollen features of an acromegalic, turned incuriously to look in their direction. Then he glanced back to the bench where he was working on an experiment that seemed to involve whirling steel spheres in a huge vacuum jar.
They said he was an astrophysicist. What's he doing in here?
Don't know, don't care.
His first bullet drilled clean through the giant's torso to the left of his twisted lordotic spine. The bullet smashed into the apparatus, causing a gigantic implosion that sucked the retarded giant forward, his face and upper body almost disappearing into the whirling inferno of splintered glass and metal. The body slumped across the bench. Without giving the massive corpse a second glance, Ryan led them on.
This is it.
They were in a wing of the sprawling building, only 40 paces or so from the body of the gigantic scientist, along a corridor that ran parallel to the center aisle of the research section. Jack smiled, running a tongue over bared teeth.
Look at that. Blow up the world with that.
What they intended, kid.
Ryan shook his head at the sight. If any Baron in Deathlands had access to power like this, he could rule unchallenged. It had to be the largest collection of explosives anywhere. Row upon row of shelves, with crates upon crates. thousands of tons of every kind of explosive, in raw and refined form. Lots of it with long chemical names that Ryan didn't even recognize. Some of it, like good old unstable nitro, he knew well enough. There were miles of wires of varying thickness, and hundreds upon hundreds of detonators.
Timers!
Jack leapt about the store like a child surrounded by a paradise of dream toys. Christy glanced at her wrist chron.
Time's running out, lover.
Keep watch, babe. Gotta link this up with some of that napalm we saw back yonder. Get everything tied in so it blows together.
She walked away. Watching her, Ryan felt an unexpected wave of great affection.
Project Eurydice is under threat. All personnel report to HQ section. Central must be obeyed always. Segment reactivated. Move toward research section, where intruders are believed to be. In event of action, take any steps, termination-wise, in lethal mode to protect all.
Well, I guess we know what's coming.
Yeah.
Ryan! Doc Tanner here. Do you read me? Over. Sorry. My apologies. Of course you can't answer, can you? No, well, we've found what we wanted. Linked in some of JB's best to some of our chum's demonic little games. See you back where we said, at the exit. Over and out.
Fuck!
Ryan finished looping a dozen strands of wire into one detonator.
Doc's blown our meeting. Hope nobody was listening in.
But he knew they needed an awful lot of luck for no one else to have heard. So, with time running out, Ryan hurried Jack and Christy along through the weapons complex. The timers had been set to go in just 30 minutes. It didn't leave them much of a margin, but would also make it hard for the scientists to manage to defuse everything. And he'd even scattered a few clever traps in the shelving, ready to be triggered if anyone was careless. Either way, the subterranean redoubt should go up around 12:40. There wasn't much time for any delays. JB, Lori, and Doc had returned to the base of the main entrance elevator. The bodies of five SecMen lay in a tangled heap at the mouth of the corridor that led toward the scientists' living quarters. The armorer looked carefully at his cron.
I make it 12:16. I don't hear him coming yet.
Everything was set and ready.
12:16.
If the explosives did their stuff, a devastating chain reaction would occur in the stores of lethal weapons. The first bang would lead to others, eventually spreading fire and destruction throughout the whole complex. All the three of them had to do now was rejoin the other trio near the single exit to safety. They were only a couple of turns in the corridor from their destination when Dr. Ethel Tardy appeared from a side door and waddled into the center of the passage. She was holding a chromed hand blaster, which was connected to wires that trailed away out of sight. The muzzle was slightly bell-shaped and was pointed in their direction. The tiny woman smiled, beaming eyes hugely distorted by their thick spectacles.
You have been busy, sabotage-wise. We lost track of our surveillance mode operation on Dr. Tanner and the others in your party.
Tough shit, lady.
Ryan hesitated about trying to blast the diminutive scientist, the short hairs prickling at the back of his neck at the sight of the outlandish weapon she held. What was it, and what might it do?
One move from you, and I shall use this. It is one of our prize items of research, tested thus far only on our mutant experimental personnel. It is listed as an MD, which stands for Molecular Destabilizer. I eagerly anticipate using it upon you three and examining the results.
What's it do?
Ryan was wondering whether he should try to snap the G-12 onto Continuous and rip the poisonous dwarf into bloody ribbons of flesh. But she was too far away, and her finger was on a button that had to be a firing trigger.
Your tissue, bone, blood, skin are all composed of molecules bonded together. This will remove those fragile bonds.
But if you do that...
Yes. You see it. The entire structure dissolves. You melt into a billion, billion particles. Total disintegration. And it is so painful. The element of consciousness remains surprisingly long. It is one of the best of my own inventions.
You death-crazed lunatic!
No. Central, bless you. We are the saviors of the world. Only through death can you come to a new life. That's how it's always been in the rules.
You're sick. Sick and